Luke chapter 5, and reading in verse 12. Would you do this? Would you go ahead and stand with me tonight in honor of reading God's Word? Chapter 5. No one even looked at me. You didn't even realize. You would have eventually. Luke chapter 5, and look at verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according to as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for these missions updates and, Lord, just what you're doing here in the U.S. and, Lord, literally around the world. We just thank you and praise you for it. I just pray just be with each one of them now. I pray you just be with us as we look into your word for these next few moments. And Lord, just all that we do and say be your honor and glory. And Father, may you just keep us centered and stayed and focused upon you and you alone. Lord, keep our hearts sensitive and drawn closer to you. In your name, amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. Here we see a story that we're somewhat familiar with probably, and we need to understand and just think about that as the sovereign omniscient Lord, Jesus has the power, think about this, to intervene in lives and show himself mighty. Now, Christ does this for two primary reasons. Why did Christ do these miracles? Whether it be this one of the healing of the leprosy or others, why did Christ perform miracles? There's really two big umbrellas that they would go under. What do you think? Show that he's God, and to help, to show the people, and to help the people, right? And if we're going to do two big umbrellas, it was for faith and for healing, to show he was God and help them understand who he was, and for the healing of the people and to help that individual person. Now, let me ask you this, before we get any further. This man recognized Jesus Christ as Lord, but did everybody who observed it and or participated in Christ's miracles acknowledge who Christ was? Did the two reasons, the faith and the physical, did they make sense to everybody? Did they all get it? No, they didn't. Well, what's an example we can see where they didn't get it? Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So it still met that individual's need, right? And we see throughout Scripture where it met the physical need, but the faith piece of it wasn't always understood, wasn't always accepted, I should say. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart. And that's a big piece to understand, is the heart has to be right. The heart has to be where it needs to be in order for Christ, in order for that person to accept Christ for who he is. If the heart isn't right, the people aren't going to accept Christ for who he is. And that's true whether it be of the unsaved or whether that be of someone who's saved, right? If our heart isn't right with God, you being here tonight does no good, right? I mean, just think about it. If our heart isn't right where it needs to be, coming to church, hopefully it helps draw you back where you need to be, but the action of going to church does no good. Our heart needs to be right before the Lord. We need to have a broken heart before him. In this passage, we learn of a few descriptions of Jesus as Lord. The first is this, is he is a powerful Lord. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This was a man suffering from leprosy. Now let's just take a moment here and talk about leprosy. What was leprosy, or what is leprosy? a very nasty disease, right? Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not scientific. But essentially, it's this. It attacks the nervous system to where a person can't feel. Now, the danger behind this isn't in the disease itself, but rather in the fact if you can't feel anything, what's likely to happen? You're going to injure yourself. And when you injure yourself, more than likely, what's going to happen to that injury? It's going to get infected. And then over time, you know, gangrene and all those nasty things that can happen. And that was one of the biggest dangers of leprosy. And that was something that, especially in Bible times, I mean, if you had leprosy, I mean, you were literally cast out. Right? You were set apart. You were set aside. And we're going to see some of those things here in just a few moments. The New Testament leprosy was oftentimes considered a curse, and lepers were isolated from the rest of society. In fact, what did the lepers have to did they have to cry out if someone was coming close to them? Do you remember? Unclean. Right? Unclean, unclean. Letting the people know that it wasn't safe, that they were indeed lepers. And again, just that powerful disease, but we know that Jesus is more powerful than any disease. He can heal any physical disease, and more importantly, he can heal any spiritual need. Leviticus chapter 13 talks about leprosy in this way. This was with Moses and Aaron. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, and unto one of the sons of the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. This gave some of the guidelines around leprosy. We're going to see some more here in just a little while. And I'm not going to go into detail describing it, but you can read it. But the Bible is very clear around leprosy and the disease that it was. And the priest, the high priest or his son or the other priest, were the only ones who were officially allowed to make that diagnosis. We see that in verse 12 that Jesus' power was known. Right? Look at verse 12. And it came to pass when he was a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The man, do you catch the description there? He was full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. Now, I don't mean to be graphic, I don't mean to be gross, but very simply put, it wasn't the early stages of the disease. Right? This is towards the latter stages. No doubt there was infections. No doubt there was, you know, potentially, you know, pieces not where they should be or how they should be. And it would have been really just disgusting. But this leper who was full of leprosy was completely under the power of that disease, but recognizes Jesus. He recognizes who Christ is, and knowing that Jesus has the power to heal, knowing that Jesus could heal and meet his need. He refers to Jesus as Lord. He fell on his face beside him saying, Lord. This man had a heart of faith, believing that Jesus could heal this terrible disease. He already recognizes who Jesus is and knowing that Jesus has the power to heal. That word besought very simply means to desire, to long for, to ask, beg, to pray, to make a supplication towards. The phrase there, to make clean, that he says, means cleanse from physical stains and dirt, and in a moral sense, to pronounce clean in the Levitical sense. We're going to see the Levitical sense here in just a few moments. But this phrase, to make clean, was very significant. This leprous man was desperate for Jesus to heal him. And Scripture tells us that he fell on his face before Jesus as a sign of great humility. Sometimes we talk about the posture of prayer, right? This is Wednesday night. This is prayer meeting night. There's two postures of prayer given in the Bible specifically. Does anyone know what they are? Don't overthink it. kneeling on your face, right? Kneeling before God as a sign of humility, and then also in standing, right? And I think there's a very practical reason for that, but he came to Jesus and kneeled before him and threw himself down in total humility. Why is that considered a form of humility? There's actually a military reason for it. You're as low as you can get. That's a piece of it. You're bowing down. When you're bowing down, and I'm not going to get on my knees and bow down because I probably couldn't get back up, but when you do that, you're fully vulnerable. Not only are you on your knees, not only is your head bowed, but you're not looking up and seeing what's going on, and you are very vulnerable if that person has a weapon or otherwise. Now, not that he was worried about Jesus having a weapon, but that's one of the reasons why it's the ultimate form of humility, because you are basically just giving of yourself totally and just total humiliation before that person, whether it be a king or whomever it might be. In this case, of course, the man with Christ. Proverbs 15 talks about this a little bit. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. If we want to have wisdom, we need to fear or to honor whom God is. And before honor is what? Humility. Does the Bible talk a lot about humility? Right? What's the opposite of humility? Pride. It talks a whole lot about humility and pride. And we know that the Bible says that God resists the proud and gives grace to who? The humble. Time and time again in the scripture, we see that type of a thing, just as we saw here in Proverbs, and the importance of humbling ourselves. We should do this, folks. We should pray every day, and sometimes multiple times a day, Lord, keep my heart humble. Lord, help me not to be prideful. Sometimes we kind of think, whew, all right, that went well. Maybe it's something at work, right? A project went well, and you got a pat on the back, or someone says, boy, you did a great job with, and what's the first thing we do? Yeah, I did, right? That's just, it's a natural thing. We've got to be so cautious. Why? Because when pride sneaks in there, it is so dangerous. Remember, pride's what brought down heaven, right? Pride's what was introduced into heaven through Lucifer and through his fallen angels. And look at the destruction and the torment that's been for literally millennia. So we might need to make sure we keep that in perspective, and that before honor, we need to be humble. Secondly, we see his power was shown. Look at verse 13. "And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him." Jesus shows his power in two ways in this situation. The first is through healing, and the second is through teaching. Again, going back to that faith and that personal need, he healed this man. He poured forth his hand and touched him, says, "I will, be thou clean." And what's the end of the verse say? And eventually, right? Sooner or later? No, immediately the leprosy departed from him. We saw this a week or two ago, right, with the healing there, that it wasn't gradual. It wasn't, it slowly started going away. Leprosy, for the most part, like it would show up one day, but over time, it got worse and worse and worse and worse, right? It's not like you just woke up and all of a sudden you're just a full-blown leper and things are falling off. It took some time. But for the healing portion of this, it was immediate, right? We saw this with Peter's mother-in-law and how the fever instantly went away and she started serving immediately. And we see the same kind of instantaneous healing here. And that's why it's so important to understand and for us to remember just of who Christ is. That can only have been done through a miracle. It wasn't through medicine. It wasn't through anything mystic or otherwise. It was done through Christ, and it was done immediately. Lepers were not allowed to be touched. Why? Why were lepers not allowed to be touched? Or allowed to touch anyone else? Contagious. Now, not all forms of leprosy are contagious, all right? But they weren't going to take any chances. Listen, if I was in the Bible time, I wouldn't take any chances, right? Why? Because if you got leprosy, you're out of town, right? This isn't the sniffles. This isn't the cold. This isn't the flu. This is leprosy. And it meant business. It was life or death. This was a man whom no one wanted to touch. But Jesus, he touched him to heal him. Think about that just for a moment. If you've ever seen it, I don't know, I've recommended it before, but Sight and Sound shows the Jesus movie or the play each year. And they do a pretty good job of this because when Jesus goes to touch and to heal this man, his disciples are trying to keep him from doing it. Now, we don't know that, right? Scripture doesn't tell us all of those things, but that would have been very, very likely. Why? Because they love Jesus. They didn't want to see Jesus get leprosy or sickness or other things. And you just think about that human practical part. But Christ reached out and touched him. Scriptures use leprosy oftentimes as an analogy for sin. But again, Jesus touched us in love with the gospel in spite of our sin. Just as no one wanted to touch that leper, no one wants to be around sin, but Jesus did so. He touched the man. He healed him just the same as he touched our hearts and lives at salvation. People in our communities, our neighbors, our family, they need us to reach out to them and share with them the love of God. Secondly, we see that he did it not just in healing, but in teaching. Look at verse 14. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according to as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. The word charge simply means to transmit a message along from one to another, to declare, to announce, right? It wasn't charging him for a bill. It wasn't charging him against something in the law. It was just telling him to talk from one person to the next. Jesus was teaching this man to honor the process of rejoining society, right? Oftentimes when we see Jesus heal, what's he tell him to do? Sometimes he says, tell no one, take up thy bed and walk, and he just tells him directly what to do. Here he says, don't do that. Why? Because there was a very specific rule, there was very specific laws around how to rejoin society. We're going to look at those very quickly here in just a minute. And Jesus is trying to respect that right there. At the end of 8 days, so he would go, the man would go to the high priest, and the high priest would inspect him and basically quarantine him, all right? We don't like the word quarantine because of COVID a few years ago, but there are times when it is necessary and is good. At the end of 8 days, the healed leper would be given a certificate affirming his healing, and the priest would then declare the healing valid, and two doves would be sacrificed. This led to a full week of rejoicing, after which three lambs would be offered for the sacrifice, and the blood of the lambs would be placed on the ears of the leper. Why do you think this was such a celebratory time when a leper was healed? It rarely happened. And when it did, it was shown as God's grace on them and them really almost having a new life again, having their family back. Because remember, they couldn't be around people. They couldn't be around their family. This was a time of rejoicing. Deuteronomy chapter 24 says, take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you. As I command them, so ye shall observe to do. As we talked about a few moments ago, leprosy oftentimes is a picture of sin before God. And here's this beautiful comparison to be made between the blood of the lambs. Again, after that week of celebration, these lambs are crucified, and that blood is anointed on the ears of the leper. And we see that comparison between the blood of the lambs being placed on the healed leper and the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins. We see that connection there. We see, again, he was told to go out and not tell anyone. But look at verse 15 and 16. I think he ignored Jesus. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. We don't know the details. We don't know if the leper ignored him or if other people who saw and witnessed it, but somehow the news of what Jesus had done got out. And what happened when the news got out? Everybody came in. Think about it. If you have leprosy, leper was just healed, where do you want to go? You've got someone else, a family member or otherwise, that has some kind of infirmity or some kind of sickness or some kind of ailment, then you're going to bring them to Jesus. Why? Instantaneous healing. Why? You know that this man is capable of healing whatever problem there is. And then after this time, and we're not told exactly how long it was, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. The wilderness being a solitary place, a lonely, a desolate, uninhabited place. Why did he go there? Yeah, he needed a break from people. He needed a break, and more importantly, not needing just a break from people, more importantly, he needed to spend time with his Heavenly Father. He needed to spend time in prayer. He needed time to recharge his batteries, if you will, and to get where he needed to be spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. This is something I think sometimes we fail on. Sometimes we go and we go and go, and we never allow ourselves to be refilled, right? We never allow ourselves to get where we need to be spiritually. It's so important that we take that time. And it should be a daily thing. Spending time in God's Word should be a daily thing. Spending time in prayer with Him should be a daily thing where we're just focused upon what God has for us so that then we can go and be a blessing. Matthew 14 says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone." Just another example of when Christ stepped away from the busyness. And oftentimes when he did this, he didn't even have his disciples. He needed that alone time. I guess I'll just share this thought as we kind of close, right? Liz and I were on a plane a few weeks ago, and I just brings me back to this analogy. And what do they always tell you, right? When the air thingies drop out of the top, what are you supposed to do? Put your own on first, and then take care of little children or old people or whoever else can't reach it, right? Why is that? You can't help anyone else if you're dead. Or incapacitated or decapitated or whatever, right? You can't help anyone else. You've got to first make sure that your mask is on, because if you can't breathe, you can't help others. And that's really what time with God is. It's if we don't spend time with God, it's like we're not able to breathe. It takes the spiritual oxygen from our life. It takes away that which we need the most, that our body craves and it hungers. Have you ever been in a situation where you can't breathe, you lose a minute or so of oxygen? It's not fun, right? Whether it's intentional or accidental, whatever the case might be, it's not fun. Your body craves that oxygen. It needs that oxygen to exist. That's how we should crave time with God. Our spiritual bodies need to crave time in the Word and time in prayer. And if we miss it, it's like we're gasping for that spiritual renewal, that spiritual refreshing that can only come from God.